You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem HealthShare Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. Hey, we're Aaron and Jennifer Smith with Marriage After God,
helping you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
And today we're going to talk about goal setting and why it's good for your marriage. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel so that you can get access to all of our episodes as we launch them. So today we're going to be talking about goal setting. And it's something that Jennifer and I have done since the beginning of our marriage for 11 years now. We do it every year. Sometimes we do
throughout
huge goals throughout the year. We check up on the goals as we go. What we've loved doing them because it allows us to operate in goals and plans and organize our year and our calendars around these goals. And today we're going to talk about why setting goals in your marriage is good for your marriage.
We have some practical tips on how to do it.
And then we're also going to end with some spiritual ways we should be thinking about the goals that we do set. So let's just jump right in. So first, let's talk about some of the reasons why goal setting is good and valuable and healthy and just all around a good thing for a marriage.
Well, the first thing that I thought of was security. You have this security in marriage and in your relationship because you know where you're going. A good friend of mine, when we were talking about raising young kids, told me, you know, your kids will ask you throughout the day, what's next, mommy? Because they want to know. And when you have the answer for them, when you can supply them with a strategy and a place that they're going or a thing that they're doing, they have peace and they have security in knowing that, well, mom knows what's going on. Dad knows what's going on. And so when I look at that in regards to marriage, I just think like how much security we've experienced in our own relationship, even when things were rocky, because we knew where we were going. We knew what was coming next and we knew how to prepare for it.
Yeah. And we have a friend that every day before he starts working, he works for himself. He gets a 3x5 card like this one, writes down the 5 or 6 things that he wants done that day, and that helps him finish his day. And it's actually something I've tried adopting, and it works really well on the day-to-day, because when you walk into your job and you walk into, if you don't know what you're doing, it feels very like, okay, where are we at? So if it works on a day-to-day, which it does, it also works on the year-to-year, which is something that we're kind of talking about. We're talking about large goals, annual goals, things that we're going to focus on in the year. So it does actually provide security because it gives you a vision of what you're doing. It gives you a task. It gives you a direction.
Yeah, totally.
Instead of we're just getting by. We're just getting off work. We're just going home. We're just, you know, watching TV. We're just, you know, just floating. And what this does is it gives you a name. And so,
and I don't want to go too much into the negative side of not having goals or not knowing where you're going in marriage. But I know that people listening can probably relate to this, that when you don't have those goals and that time set aside where you're planning with your spouse and you're getting excited for the future together, things can look a little cloudy and a little confusing and a little frustrating because you start to wonder, well, where's my spouse at? Or, you know, how are they feeling about things? And you kind of lose a sense of communication and a sense of direction in your own marriage.
Yeah. So one of the other valuable benefits of goal setting is communication.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it forces you to communicate.
Like you were just saying.
It forces you to practice communication.
If you're not setting goals and you don't know where each other at, the only way to fix that is to talk about it. So when it's when you set aside dedicated time and energy and mental power to setting goals as a family, as a marriage, you communicate. You have to. So, you know, you come together and they're like, hey, this is some things I think we can accomplish this year. Maybe it's a vacation. Maybe it's starting a business. Maybe it's, you know, schooling and or, you know, whatever it is, finances. You set it together and you guys come together and you bring your ideas and you bring your individual visions and you actually let them meld together and see where you guys land. And it forces communication.
Yeah.
You have to do it. When we have date nights for the planning, all we're doing is communicating. It doesn't work otherwise. So it cultivates communication, which is one of the number one marriage killers in the first place. So having goals is another reason to help communication. What's another valuable benefit of goal setting, planning for your marriage?
I think it builds unity and creates that environment for oneness to thrive. I know that you've experienced this as well, like just that bringing to the table your individual passions, or like you said, your individual goals and desires and dreams for things, and you just put them on the table for them to meld together, and you get to navigate what things are you going to pursue and what things are you going to look forward to in the future for your marriage.
And it allows for sacrifice too, self-sacrifice. So like if I have this vision for myself, which I shouldn't be having because we want to be one, we actually get to find out like, oh, actually that's in the way of something that is better for both of us, or that's pretty selfish. And we actually get to put it on the table and look at them, evaluate them and put them together.
And then other times there's this other sacrifice where if you brought something to the table that you really wanted to pursue and I look at it and I go, okay, I can see how that would benefit you as my husband or as a leader. And I go, okay, we're going to pursue this together and I can be a supportive wife, or vice versa. Right. So like there's sacrifice on both ends.
And a good example of that might be a season of school or a season of training in something.
You actually went through a season, was it last, the beginning of last year, 4 months of every Wednesday for a few hours, you
were discipled
at a Bible study. And it was hard because I always knew I was going to be with the kids all day and then with the kids that night, and you were only home for maybe dinner. Sometimes not even, you would just leave and get dinner on the way to your Bible study. So that was a difficult season, but I knew the benefits of it. And so being able to, sacrifice the time and energy and effort that's required to pull off that kind of goal, and knowing the benefits of it was really impactful for a marriage.
And one of the most important benefits that this gives a marriage is another opportunity to come together and be praying and submitting plans before the Lord.
Yeah.
Is it's another occasion, because we're always trying to find, we want to pray for everything, right? As the Bible teaches us, is finding more ways of saying, okay, as if we're going to pray about these things together. And so finding that common ground, finding that communication and the unity in prayer is just, that's what is good about goal setting.
And our heart's desire for you guys is to encourage you that a marriage after God does exactly that. They go to God. They take their goals and their desires as a team, and they lay them at God's feet and say, okay, God, we need your guidance. We want to know that these goals are because you've given us these desires, and that we're going to pursue them together because of you. And I think that a marriage after God understands that goal setting is important, because it actually clarifies what your purpose is, what purpose God gave you for your marriage is, right?
Yeah, and so let's move into so we told you why it's good. You know, goal setting is just good in individual life, in business, and in marriage. It's just a good thing to have goals that we're going to attain and try and shoot for.
Yeah.
But the next thing we want to talk about is we want to talk about some practical ways that we set goals and keep track of them in our own marriage. And maybe you guys can get benefits from that. So one of them is something that we talked about before is we utilize our date nights.
It's a date night takeover.
Yeah, so we don't do it every date night, but often we'll use our date nights to do a checkup on our goals, or we'll do it for goal casting.
Definitely at least once a month. If you're going on a date night regularly, I would say like once a week or something like that, I would say, you know, take one date night a month to just reflect and check up on what the progress is of your goals.
Yeah, so you can use one of the first ones. We usually like to do, in the beginning of the year, we go on a date and we just submit some big plans. We're like, what do you see God might be wanting to do in our lives? What can we do in our marriage, our children's lives, business-wise? And we just like, sometimes we go right beyond our comfort zone on them. Sometimes we go way beyond our comfort zone on the planning. But we lay them down, we write them down, and we talk about them, and we have
get
a fun date night about these things.
Now, I do want to encourage them listening that if for any reason at all you can't make that date night work, it's okay to talk about it in front of your kids you know, with your family. Yeah.
We just love doing it on a date night.
We absolutely love doing it on a date night, but if for whatever reason you take a drive or you do it at the dinner table, that's okay too. We actually have friends that they have older children, and they utilize that time as a family to really vision cast for where their future is.
Yeah, because especially when your kids get older, they'll want to have some goals and vision too. So
yeah, date night's great though for that, you know, isolated conversation of like, we're going to talk about some pretty intimate things or things about the kids that we, you know, don't want to talk about in front of them. So both are good.
Yeah. So another practical thing that we do in our goal casting, goal planning, is we write it down.
Yep.
I know this sounds pretty simple, but you love to write things down.
So you'll bring,
she brings a journal, she's got a pen, highlighters, markers, she's writing stuff down.
If we're on a date and I hadn't brought anything, I will ask the waiter for a pen and usually use the back of the
receipt
or napkin.
Paper, yeah.
And we try and write things down all the time. Another thing we have is a huge whiteboard. We actually, this is great for entrepreneurs, people who work from home, or if you're a mom that works from home, it's absolutely great to have some sort of whiteboard or even chalkboard that you can walk by every day and see. And it's really quick to just throw up what your goals are and what you're aiming for.
Yeah. And so not just writing it down for yourself, but writing it down and then putting those goals somewhere visible.
Right.
Maybe on your bathroom mirror, maybe on the chalkboard in your kitchen. Or
we've even used our closet mirror before with a dry erase marker. That
works. And we would write down big goals, and that was, it was so it was in front of us so that we'd be seeing it daily and weekly, and we'd be like, hey, we haven't done anything towards that goal recently. We need to be like, let's go have a date night and figure out how we can get that back on
track. Write some strategies down on how to do that.
And so writing it down for yourself and then putting it somewhere visible when you guys have decided what those, you know, 2-3 large goals are for the year.
They just serve as great reminders to be able to working towards them. If you talk about them, that's great. But if you don't ever bring them up again and you forget about them,
and it's not really a goal. So writing it down makes it real.
Yep.
And another thing writing it down does is it allows you to write other things down underneath those goals, like breaking those goals down into weekly, monthly, you know, what can I do in January?
Even
what can
daily, I do in February? Bite-sized, you know, doable things that you can aim
for. So you can, you could break up the ideas and put actual tasks oriented ideas under, underneath those on how you're going to accomplish those goals.
Yeah.
Let's say it's going on a family trip. You could break down how much money you need to save for it, how you're going to do that.
Or how much laundry you need to do leading up to that day you leave.
It could be, you know, throwing a garage sale. It could be like, who do you, you know, do you need to contact someone? Like putting all those little tasks in there, just writing it down helps you actually accomplish the goal.
Yeah. This next one is one that you actually kind of already mentioned, but it's just once you have your goals and you've talked about them, bringing them before the Lord and just asking God to guide you, to give you wisdom, to help you have clarification whether or not this is something you should be pursuing. And so Aaron has a great verse that he wanted to share.
Yeah, so in Proverbs 16, verse 3, it says, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established." Now, it could be easy to be like, oh, all I got to do is commit it to God and like, I'm going to get whatever I want, whatever plans we have. Now, the idea is that we commit it to the Lord. And so he actually has the right to change them.
Yep.
So what it does is as we begin to pray and commit our plans to the Lord, our work to the Lord, the things that we see for our lives, it gives God permission every step of the way to do what he wants, to change our hearts. Because there's been many times we have this plan, we have this goal, and we're like, oh man, this is awesome. We start working towards it, being diligent for it, but we're praying along.
Do you desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today.
Along the way, and we're saying, okay, Lord, how about this? Hey, okay, Lord, how about this? And you know what? There's been times that he totally derails, totally changes, totally says, actually, that's getting in the way of something better. That's getting in the way of this over here.
There's been times that he's confirmed that in your heart and mine at separate times, but then when we come together to like check up on it, we reveal
to
each other.
I think, you know, this is probably going to hurt you, but I think we should just put this on the shelf.
And I'm like, no, I feel the same way.
And we're like, oh, good.
when you commit your work to the Lord, I do believe that he will unify that message of whatever mission you're on, whatever goals you're aiming for, whatever vision you have cast in front of you, he molds it and he shapes it, and he has the permission to help us navigate whether or not we should.
Because the goal in this is not to just what we want, how we want it, when we want it. The goal is that we are coming together as one, mm-hmm. and we're vision casting, we're goal casting with God in mind, with mm-hmm. the Bible in mind, with His will for our life in mind, mm-hmm. and saying, here's some things that we think we could accomplish that we think God might want to. And then we say, okay, Lord, is it? Mm-hmm. Okay, Lord, show us, walk with us, teach us, give us wisdom. And it's not just to get our way.
Mm-mm. And the more that you guys do this as a couple, set goals and things and talk about it, you'll realize when you're committing stuff to the mm-hmm. Lord and you're, you know, years of that building up, you get on this track of like, well, that thing over there doesn't even make sense because it has nothing to do with what God's working on. Like God's will is so much more important than any of these other little goals. Right. So it is cool to see how He does shape our hearts mm-hmm. and our minds and our perspectives of what it is that we are to be doing. What is the purpose of our marriage, and what are we aiming for? What are we striving for? What's our family striving mm-hmm. for together?
So every step of the way, we submit our work to the Lord. Mm-hmm. We say, hey, God, here's some things that I think we'd love to do as a family in our marriage and where we're going and things that we think we can accomplish, mm-hmm. but not my will, but Your will be done. And so we ask God and we submit it to Him. And you know what? Oftentimes when we do that, the plans that get established are the ones that God wants.
Yeah.
And it's pretty awesome. Yeah. So
memorize that verse.
Yeah, memorize that verse. And so that leads us to the last thing that we, last practical advice we want to give you when it comes to goal setting.
And it's one of my favorites. It's just celebrate the victories, whether they're small or little, mm-hmm. no matter what you've accomplished as a team, make sure that you're celebrating together. Maybe you're taking an extra date night just to celebrate, an accomplishment. Maybe mm-hmm. it's words of affirmation when you see your spouse walk in the door and know that they did something that helped you accomplish that goal today.
So, when you reach that goal, let your kids know.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we made this goal. We've been submitting it to the Lord. And you know what? We accomplished it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just wanted to celebrate with you guys. We just wanted to let you know that this is awesome.
And
that we did this together.
In celebrating, it also goes hand in hand with committing your work to the Lord. Give Him praise. Give Him thanks mm-hmm. for how He's equipped you to be able to accomplish those goals. Give Him that mm-hmm. glory because He deserves it.
Yeah. And going back to what we were just talking about, prayer. If God shifts your direction and takes a goal that you have and puts it on the shelf, celebrate it.
Yeah, say thank you, Lord. Him for he saved giving you, that clarification.
Yeah, because he's faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been many times that we're like, oh, like we feel, bummed out by something. But then we realize like, man, that was a good thing that God, stopped that or put us in a different direction.
Sometimes we don't even realize it for like 6 or 9 months. And then we realize what had happened in that time. Mm-hmm. There was no way that other goal would have fit in there. And so we just, thank God for the saving grace on that.
Yeah. So to end this episode, we want to present to you some areas of your life that you guys can discuss in your next goal casting event, whether it be a date night or around the dinner table.
Yeah.
Here's some categories of things that you guys can set goals in.
Yeah.
And it's things that we set goals in pretty much every single year regularly.
Yeah. So the first category is individual passions or desires. So I have my own, things that I'm dreaming up of in my mm-hmm. head. You have your own. So writing them down or bringing mm-hmm. them to the table to talk about, that's just one area. Is what individually is God stirring in your heart that you can come and talk about?
Yeah. Another area is business. If you guys have your own jobs, like 9-to-5s, or if you actually work together, or if you're self-employed, regardless of what your work is, you can have a vision for it. Maybe it's like how to get a raise. Maybe it's how to, if you want to transition from one job to another, maybe it's, starting a business. These are things that we should be talking about mm-hmm. in goal setting.
Mm-hmm. And I would just add to that, if your husband is either an entrepreneur or has a job that he brings these mm-hmm. goals to the table, and maybe you don't have anything to offer because you just think that you're either at home with the kids or doing something mm-hmm. That doesn't require a goal in that area, just make sure that you're being supportive and navigating that as a team still. I think that's really important.
And understanding your work schedule. And, we know some people that, 3 months out of the year, just there's nothing they can do but do work. And so that they can go into the goal setting like, well, we need to get stuff done before, X date because you're going to be unavailable.
Yeah.
So understanding that the schedules.
We've had friends who have 3 months out of the year that don't have work because, their jobs are dependent on weather or circumstances that are outside of their control. And so teaming up to be prepared for when mm-hmm. that time comes, I think that's really important.
So the next area, which is probably the most important area to be setting goals in, is your spiritual life.
Yeah.
How are you guys going to read through the Bible that year? What kinds of things do you want to work on spiritually? What kind of, do you want to get in prayer more together? What does it look like for your church and your community?
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that you want to put in and set. Like, do you want to
you know, start discipling someone? Is there someone in your community that you want to start giving to and blessing and helping? So setting goals spiritually is one of the most important categories that you should be setting goals in as a couple.
And when you guys are discussing these, don't be afraid to ask each other where you're at. You know, if we were having a discussion about our spiritual life, I should not be afraid to ask you, how have you been doing in reading the Word? And then giving you time to discuss.
What are you learning right now?
What are you learning about? How can I help you as a wife support you in your spiritual life?
And vice versa. And how can I help you in your spiritual life?
Yeah, asking each other those hard questions is part of the goal setting process because it's also checking up on where they're at and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one is just overall your marriage. How's your marriage doing?
Do you have any marriage goals, in your intimacy life? Do you want to, do you want to be intimate more often? Because I know this is a struggle for a lot of people. It was a struggle for us.
Yeah.
It was a main area of struggle, but we can actually discuss those and say, hey, you know, maybe we've been, you know, that's been an area that we've been kind of not paying attention to lately. Mm-hmm. How can we pay attention to that? Do we want to work on it? Do we want to get better at it? Which is a great goal to have, is your intimacy life.
And giving each other a safe zone where you can actually talk. Real talk, intimate talk on what your needs are. You know, like if I need more romance in my life, I need to be able to communicate that to you and figure out how can we facilitate this in our
And what does that look like?
What does it look like? Yeah. So I think that's really important.
And then within the marriage category, there's also those finances, there's home, there's all of these other things.
Parenting.
That you could say like, well, where are we at with these? Mm-hmm. What is our vision and goal for these areas? You know, do you want to get out of debt? You know, debt was a huge thing for us. We got out of debt 10 years ago. No, six, 7 years ago.
But it took us a year and a half to
Took us a while, but we made a plan and a goal. Mm-hmm. And everything we did was wrapped around that goal.
Yeah.
And we accomplished it.
Yeah. And we celebrated.
We made a video about it. So these are just a handful of the categories you can sit down with your spouse and start planning in and saying, hey, let's pick a couple of these categories. Some of them, you can't do all of them. You know, we don't always get to do...
Sometimes you just run out of time.
...individual goals. Like, sometimes we have just whole years where there is no individual goals. There's just, we have this goal together for these things.
Yeah.
And almost everything else gets sacrificed
to
make sure that those goals get met.
Sometimes you only walk away with one or two goals that you really want to focus on.
Yes.
And that's okay, too.
A good example is, like, let's say you want to get out of debt. And just going back to that. Many of your individual passions might have to get shelled because they might cost money. Oftentimes, the individual passions cost more money than all the other things.
Right.
So if you want to get out of debt and you say, you know what? I'm not going to do XYZ because all of that money we're going to put towards debt.
Yep.
And you know what? You did it together. And that goal, you both have sacrificed and said, we're going to sacrifice together these areas so that we can accomplish this one major, amazing goal that's going to benefit us next year and the years to come.
I think the biggest thing is just to make sure that you're in agreement. When you walk away from the goal setting,
that's the main thing.
Process is you need to walk away in agreement. And I really do believe that prayer solidifies that agreement. Mm-hmm. When you have finished talking through it and laying everything out and then you go to prayer, I feel like it just brings that agreement together with God.
And not just being in agreement, but being in unity and how it's accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like, well, that was your goal. Go figure it out. It's our goal and we're going to do it together.
Assuming
and
that
we're
going
to, and to be honest, every decision from that point on gets filtered through our walk with God and through our goals. Like, well, like that kind of feels like it's taking us off course from what we said we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps you get on the same page and needs to be accomplished together.
Yeah.
So I just want to end with a biblical perspective on goal setting and goal planning. Because we don't want to just go into this and be like, let's set goals, let's just do this, we're going to accomplish X, Y, Z.
Right.
We want to know how the Bible would teach us to have a posture towards any of our goals.
Mm-hmm.
Our posture towards tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In James chapter 4, verse 13, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.
Mm.
So our posture towards any of this stuff is not that we just don't make goals and also that we don't just pursue goals with like blindly and just, oh, we're going to go for this and that. We have a posture of, if the Lord wills it, we will do this or that. That doesn't mean we don't plan. James isn't saying don't make plans.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying in your plans, submit them to the Lord. Mm-hmm. In your plans, if the Lord wills it. And so we make goals, we make plans, we have these ideas, we have these visions for the future. And we say, you know what, we have today, and we're going to do what we can today. And we're going to plan for such and such tomorrow, if the Lord wills it. And you know what, that allows us to just have so much peace and calmness and patience and understanding, and it allows the Lord to just direct us and guide us, and we don't get frustrated when our plans don't come out the way we want them to. Now, we do everything we can in wisdom and in the giftings that we have to do what we believe the Lord's leading us in, and we make plans and goals for our future, but we let the Lord have all of it. And so I just would encourage you to set goals, to cast vision in your home and in your marriage, to become one, to have unity as a couple, but at the same time, submit your work to the Lord so that He will establish your plans.
Yeah, that's good. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us on this episode. We hope that it encouraged you and inspired you and challenged you to make sure that you're goal setting and submitting it all to God in your marriage. And also just a reminder that we would love for you to subscribe to our channel just so that you are not missing out on any future episodes. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Stay tuned for next time.
Did you enjoy today's show? Find many more encouraging stories and resources at marriageaftergod.com, and let us help you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness and listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy, because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join with thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com.